Why is the shopping cart always in the top right of the screen?
How do companies predict my purchases?
Why do prices end in 9?
Why do fast food companies use red and yellow in their logos?
Why do restaurants always have one expensive menu item?
Researchers, marketers, and very curious people seek the answers for how we make decisions and how we choose products. ClickSuasion finds the secrets that companies use and shares them with you.
Why do I feel better when I bought the last remaining airline ticket?
How do I make choices based on colors and fonts?
You always want to look your best, but you don't always have time to deal with a necktie that won't cooperate. That's where we come in. Introducing the Never Tie, the only necktie that you never have to tie. Each Never Tie comes with a tie and 2 removable knots that you simply slide on and adjust for your comfort, giving you the perfect look every time. Choose from over 20 stylish designs at thenevertie.com.
Welcome to ClickSuasion special menu psychology episode. This is Michael Barbera, your ClickSuasion host. We have 3 phenomenal topics to discuss. Whether you research menus in restaurants, we search customers, or human judgment decision-making, manage a restaurant, or just like to eat at them, here's an episode that you will find fascinating. The first topic, menu psychology. Stop making meals and start creating experiences. Followed by how to use anchoring to affect consumer choice with non-traditional menus, and how to use time pressure to affect the customer's decision-making when ordering food. The first topic, menu psychology. Stop making meals and start creating experiences. Here's why I admire menus. It's the only marketing content that's guaranteed to be read. Once the consumer is seated at a table, they are almost guaranteed to make a purchase. Less than 1% of patrons are likely to depart a restaurant after being seated. Therefore, approximately 99% is an outstanding conversion rate that digital marketers would sell their firstborn to achieve. I would say congrats to all the restaurant operators for achieving this amazing feat of feasts. But we have to be forthright. Your margins are miserable. The purpose for our research was to understand how consumers increase spending after viewing a menu, and we've discovered that creating an experience is likely the catalyst. Let's hear some thoughts from business owner Angela Malave.
We try to go for things that are unique, that other coffee shops would not have, and definitely not that the chain national coffee shops will have. Because we are a local, locally owned, and we sell 100% organic coffee. So we definitely want to differentiate. So that creating the menu, this signature menu, it's actually a lot of fun. And it can be, I remember last year, last summer, I was at the supermarket and I was looking at the dessert section, just looking for a dessert for myself. And I saw tiramisu. And all of a sudden I thought, oh, you know, that should taste really good in a drink. So that's how the tiramisu ice breve came to life. Looking in things that, you know, we live every day. Angie Malave, owner at the Wine Cafe and the Coffee Cup in downtown Fayetteville.
Thanks, Angie. First, you need to control the room. We transition the meal to a consumer experience that cannot be matched by competitors. By doing so, we control the aesthetics, the environment, verbiage, emotions, and more importantly, the price, which is a communication multiplier. I've met many restaurant operators that placed menu items on their menu solely because they felt it was the appropriate location. This was repeatedly executed without rhyme, reason, or research. However, the consumers didn't really miss out. The consumers likely enjoyed a good-tasting meal with friends or colleagues. But it's likely that the restaurant missed the opportunity to increase their revenue. Margins are a restaurant's worst nightmare. Variable costs and expiration dates on perishables could decimate a restaurant if not carefully accounted for. Margins are difficult and challenging, but can be increased through the sale of additional items. I'm sure you've been to a Chili's restaurant. Remember the last time you were at a Chili's and you were visually scanning the menu? You likely identified a small chili pepper next to the restaurant's logo. At some places, maybe not Chili's, this may represent a spicy item. But usually when the restaurant's logo is next to a menu item, which was carefully placed next to a few items, we see this and we overtly think, this must be a good item. It's recommended by Chili's. I gotta try it. This statement couldn't be more inaccurate. The clever marketers at Chili's meticulously placed these enticing chili peppers next to the menu items that consisted of the best profit margins. These items earn the company the most profit. Of course they want you to buy it. It's a significant return on investment. The type of menu presented to the customer is equally as important as what's listed on the menu. The menu's look, touch, feel, and smell should correspond with the environment and aesthetics of the restaurant, as well as cater to those who are on the restaurant's target audience. This is a topic that could easily fill a book. Well, a big book. There are single-page menus, bifolds, trifolds, plastic-covered menus, laminated menus, and wooden menus. Choose one or several that are most appropriate for your restaurant. Angie Malave will share her experience with trends.
Last year with Pokemon Go, we had tons of experience with that. We created the Pikachu lemonade, and it had raspberry in it, flavor in it, and it had some layers to it. So one of the things that, you know, we do, we try to call our customers or guests, that's how we call them, by their names, and also shout out the name of the drink. So especially with the frenziness of the Pokemon Go last summer, as we were calling, you know, Michael, your Pikachu lemonade is ready, everybody will just look at the counter and at the counter, and then they will see how pretty or unique the drink was, and then the next person in line will be, I want that. So we will just like make a bunch of Pikachu lemonades on one after the other. Angie Malave, owner at the Wine Cafe and the Coffee Cup in downtown Fayetteville.
Thanks, Angela. Additionally, there are also verbal menus. This is another topic that could easily fill a rather large leather-bound book. The verbal presentation from the server is equally important as the written text on paper and the hermeneutics of the consumer. The server is the humanizing element of the menu. Although each consumer is likely to read the same content of the menu, the server is available to present the experience in an authoritative manner. He or she is here to greet you, serve you, and share his or her thoughts on their favorite dish. When presented in a manner that makes the consumer smile and begin to experience the meal, is the moment you control the room and control the purchase. Consistency and repetition could help the customer make a choice by reducing the cognitive tax.
Changing things around all the time, it throws people off because they like people know every Saturday we're having the Oreo cupcake. And the few times, like holidays or whatever, that we've changed it, it's like we have a revolt on our hands. So we have learned we're never taking Oreo off the menu on Saturday because people are, you know, it took time, but people got used to that and that's their favorite flavor. And, you know, so we just really see how important consistency is. You want to put some new things. You want to get people excited about new things, but you also want to make sure that there's those, you know, favorites and that those flavors and those different items that they love. Angela Diaz, Happy Cakes of Moorhead City, thehappycakescupcakery.com.
Thanks, Angie. Consumers choose menu items based upon many factors. A few of these factors include lived experiences, personal preference, health and dieting concerns, and of course, price. The restaurant operator should not compete solely on price since the consumer is 99% likely to make a purchase once seated. And I'll cover this topic here shortly. Let's think about the story about the Chili's logo next to certain menu items. The consumer feels that the item was chosen specifically for them by a culinary expert, the authoritative figure that controls all tastes and mouthgasms. We assume this culinary expert knows us well, but we're wrong. They understood their bottom line, and they also understand psychology. Humans often make rapid decisions based upon one product attribute known as a heuristic. This identifying factor is the chili pepper, which is the recommended item. Cognitively and overtly, we identify this enticing pepper, order the item, and simultaneously, unbeknownst to us, we increase the bottom line of the restaurant. Additionally, the consumer has limited cognitive processing ability. The information load that can be received, processed, and returned to the sender is limited by the countless variables that affect decision-making and judgment. For example, the average restaurant consumer will read a menu for 90 seconds. It's unlikely that each menu item will be read or given equal time from the reader's eye, as proven by eye movement research. As humans, we are attracted to keywords and phrases, which are the hermeneutics of the menu. It's how we process the information and immediately decipher if it's what we want and why. This is done in milliseconds. This is why it's critical for a restaurant to understand their target audience. Knowing and understanding the target audience's emotions and feelings could likely greatly increase returns. Now I'm ready to discuss pricing with you. Again, this is a topic that could fill several books, but here is the succinct version. We already know that when a customer is seated at the table, he or she is about 99% likely to make a purchase. Of course, we want the consumer to purchase meals with potatoes, rice, and pasta for margin purposes, but we also want the consumer to order adult beverages with great margins. We also wouldn't mind if the consumer purchased the surf and turf. Heck, it's expensive, and the lobster tail has been occupying precious freezer space for far too long. It's gotta go. However, if the consumer is prepared to make a purchasing decision on price and price alone, and we already know the consumer is 99% likely to make a purchase, it's best to increase prices, maybe not right on the spot. Instead of decreasing the purchase price of all menu items and therefore losing precious revenue, we increase the purchase price of all menu items. One item on every menu will always be the cheapest and will likely always be purchased. This is especially powerful when consumers experience meals with loved ones. Several studies have proven that consumers will avoid lower-priced items when shopping with or for loved ones. And yes, this applies to food. Although love trumps money, and money can destroy a family, we want to end the consumer's experience, keyword experience, in a manner that won't allow them to forget their brief time at the restaurant. It's unlikely that anyone could recall every restaurant they've visited. This is where the restaurant needs to end on a high note, where the restaurant needs to be strong, commanding, and nearly force the consumer to return without overtly doing so. We've discussed environment, aesthetics, paper type, and many other factors. However, most of these factors are cognitively processed during the first half of the restaurant experience. We need a commanding presence that capitalizes on all prior effects of cognitive information load. The server, the server, the server. Earlier I mentioned that the server is a human menu. They've tasted the food, advocated for it, and have told you intricate details about the ingredients. The server is the final thought, and more importantly, the final call to action. When the server brings the bill to the consumer, the gratuity is likely to be 7%. When the server brings 1 minute with the bill, the gratuity is likely to increase an additional 5.3%. When the server brings 2 minutes with the bill, the gratuity is likely to increase an additional 7.8%. However, and most astonishingly, when the server brings 2 minutes, walks away for a few steps, then comes back and says, "You know what? You're good people. Here's an additional 5 minutes." The gratuity is likely to increase an additional 30%. In this final scenario, it's not about what is offered, but how is it offered? We'll be right back with anchoring consumer choice with non-traditional menus.
Are you tired of being confused and frustrated by your business books? Do you want to do your own business bookkeeping but don't know where to begin? I can help. My name is Crystal Wombeck, and I am a certified bookkeeper. I'm the creator of the Simple Bookkeeping Program. This online, work-at-your-own-pace video course will take you from confused to confident when it comes to your business books. Log into accountingbycrystal.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Clicksuasion. Michael Barbera still here. Let's discuss anchoring and the use of non-traditional menus. The food service industry is volatile due to the low barrier to entry, high level of competition, and significantly low profit margins. Food service operators are likely to reduce expenditures and save money wherever possible. Additionally, food service operators are known for being creative to attain an advantage on the competition. Designing menus that are less taxing on the consumer's choice are a common approach to increasing revenue and enhancing the consumer experience. Unique menus are likely to attribute to an improved consumer experience that carries an intangible value of word-of-mouth marketing between consumers. Approximately 40% of North Americans eat at least one meal a day away from home. Yet most colonial Americans never dined in a restaurant. Colonial Americans did eat away from home during church socials, funerals, weddings, and other special occasions. As early as the late 17th century, colonial Americans began to frequent taverns, inns, and boarding houses. Ironically, at this time, these establishments were required by law to offer meals for sale to travelers and workers that were away from home. The requirement to offer food for sale meant the need for having a list of items for sale. Hence, the menu was born. Although the menu has changed in appearance and format since Delmonico's in the 1800s, the menu continues to serve the same purpose, to be the best marketing document. The menu is nearly guaranteed to be read by every patron. Best Buy and Walmart cannot claim that every customer reads a list of each product for sale. Here's Angel Malave on building loyalty for beverages.
They will get a more unique drink, more unique flavor. And since this drink, it's ours, we created it, then the customer will come back for that particular drink. Angie Malave, owner at the Wine Cafe and the Coffee Cup in downtown Fayetteville.
Non-traditional menus such as chalkboard and tablets are growing in popularity throughout the United States. There is a significant amount of research that suggests anchoring menu items and prices entice a consumer to make a choice that best aligns with a restaurant's profit margin. As technology changes our behavior and how individuals choose to engage with brands, restaurants have proven to change their approach to the consumer experience. Distance could affect perception and sales.
We have the main menu that is the large board right above the barista area. And there we have like our traditional drinks, like the different lattes, cappuccinos, fraps, smoothies, teas, and so on. But we do have a seasonal on board that is closer, actually physically closer to the customer. And that's where we put our signature drinks. Like, for example, right now for the summer season, we just introduced affogatos and coffee floats. So those are in that board, in our signature drinks board. Angie Malave, owner at the Wine Cafe and the Coffee Cup in downtown Fayetteville.
It's common to visit restaurants that use tablets for menus or provide a tablet with each seat at a restaurant to keep the consumer occupied. Additionally, there is research that suggests table turnover times have decreased at such restaurants, which is likely to affect revenue for the restaurant and income for servers who rely on tips for compensation. Here's some questions we thought to ourselves to research. What are the effects of consumer choice when choosing food and beverage from non-traditional menus? What are the changes of restaurant revenue when offering the consumer a non-traditional menu? And here's some things we hypothesized. Participants in the research will choose a higher quantity of food items when offered a non-traditional menu, and restaurants will experience an increase in the median amount of each bill when the participants are offered a non-traditional menu. This research was a non-field study in a controlled environment, The research was fictitious in a lab environment. No brand names were used. The time of day was 11:30 a.m. through 2 p.m. Participants who consumed food within 2 hours of the study were removed from the study. No comparison is designed to anchor from prior meals or future planned meals, for example, dinner reservations that evening. And there could be an infinite number of variables for this research. The research team was not able to test every potential variable for validity purposes. However, we encourage other researchers to expand this research in the future. The definition of non-traditional menus are non-paper, non-verbal menus at restaurants that offer in-house seating and wait service. I'll say that one more time. The definition of non-traditional menus are non-paper, non-verbal menus at restaurants that offer in-house seating and wait service. Additionally, prices were removed from the menu items. The first experiment group viewed a chalkboard menu and was offered 5 food and beverage choices. The second group viewed a digital menu on a tablet and was offered 22 food and beverage choices. Research group number 3 viewed a 5x7-inch cardstock menu that consisted of the same 5 food and beverage items as the first group. And then finally, the fourth group viewed a tri-fold laminated paper menu, similar to what you would see at Chili's or Applebee's, that consisted of the same food and beverage items as research group number 2. Research groups 1 and 3 shared the same food and beverage prices. Research groups 2 and 4 also shared their same beverage and food prices. The participants consisted of 590 undergraduate students at a university in the United States. Each student received additional course credit for participating in the research, and a total of 610 participants were recruited. However, 20 were later eliminated for consumption of food within 2 hours of the research. Control yourself, people. Control yourself. Age and socioeconomic status was not collected or measured for the research. Although age and socioeconomic status were not collected, it is likely that the majority of participants could be categorized into similar segments of the population. It is likely that the results of the research will reflect the behaviors of the food choices often made by the participants in the study. Angie Diaz will discuss Happy Cakes and the use of their menu.
When customers walk in, they can see our daily selection on a large chalkboard that we have. And then we also have monthly calendars that they can take with them that give the flavors for the whole month. Angela Diaz, Happy Cakes of Moorhead City, thehappycakescupcakery.com.
Each participant in the experimental group, the first group, was seated in the restaurant environment. The participant was seated alone and was instructed to make a food and beverage choice from a chalkboard menu on the wall. Prices were not included on the menu. Prices were withheld to avoid consumer self-anchoring of external variables that were not collected or measured during the experiment. Here's how Angie from Happy Cakes benefits from the use of a tangible menu.
As far as the calendar, I think it's for the customer's benefit as well as ours. It gets us on track, basically, for the month, knowing, being able to look ahead and see what we have from day to day, knowing how we're going to prep and knowing for like wedding orders, stuff like that, we're able to tell people. But then also for the customer, it gets them excited about the flavors. So most people will come in and get the calendar, or they can get an email to them and they'll put it up on the refrigerator or their work cubicle or whatever, to be able to refer to what flavors we have all month and get excited about certain flavors and plan accordingly, plan their trip into Happy Cakes according to our flavors. Angela Diaz, Happy Cakes of Moorhead City, thehappycakescupcakery.com.
Following the completion of the first experimental group, the median cost of the chosen meal was $16.62 from a population of 140. There were no outliers in this data set, and the standard deviation for this experiment was $4.41. The majority of participants chose the 2 menu items at the top of the chalkboard. 64% of the participants chose the second item, and 23% chose the second item. Excuse me, let me rephrase that one more time. The majority of participants chose the 2 menu items at the top of the chalkboard. 64% of the participants chose the first item, and 23% chose the second item. Apologize, I misspoke. Following the completion of the experimental group, the second one, the median cost of the chosen meal was $12.31. from a population of 162 participants. There were 22 menu items in Group 2, 17 more than Group 1. Group 2 chose their menu items from a tablet, and the majority of participant choices were derived from the lower third of the menu. The participant was forced to scroll downward with their finger to view the lower third of the page. There were a total of 404 menu choices made during the experiment with Group 2. 41% of menu choices were chosen from the lower third of the page, which were outside the digital margins of the tablet. Group 3 participants, which were 139 people, viewed a 5-inch by 7-inch cardstock menu. The menu that was presented to Group 3 consisted of the same 5 items as Group 1. The participants' menu choices during this experiment were significantly different than Group 1. Group 3's participants mostly chose items that were towards the bottom of the 5x7 cardstock menu. The menu item that was chosen most frequently consisted of more characters in the name than all other choices. Therefore, the name of the menu item printed further right than other menu choices. The participant choice for this menu item consisted with earlier human eye tracking research with menu choices. The median cost of each participant choice was $9.81. And participants in Group 3 chose less items per person than all other groups, a mean of 1.02. The last experimental group, Group 4, consisted of 149 participants that viewed a trifold laminated paper menu that consisted of the same food and beverage items as Research Group 2. Consistent with prior human eye tracking research, the majority of participants chose menu items that were placed in the top right of the trifold. 54% of participants chose at least one item in the top right of the trifold menu, and the median cost per participant throughout the entire trifold menu was $19.04. The median cost of menu items was chosen from the top right of the trifold and was $22.61. It is likely that non-traditional menus enticed creativity and innovation, which allowed the participants to have freedom with their choices. As suggested from the research, Group 1, the chalkboard menu, yielded the second highest median menu choices per person, only to fall short of the traditional trifold menu used in Group 4, which yielded a significant $22.61 median cost per person. Research Groups 2 and 3 didn't yield a higher cost. However, each suggests that the menu item placement is likely to affect the consumer's choice through anchoring. The saliency of the menu is likely to affect the menu choices and the median dollar amount per person. Group 3 was offered a menu on a 5x7-inch cardstock. The cardstock is likely to reflect lack of effort in the menu design, which is likely perceived as a lack of effort in food preparation and taste. Choices may differ when there is another person present at the point of decision. There could be an infinite number of variables for this research. The research team was not able to test each potential variable for validity purposes. However, we encourage other researchers to expand this research in the future, and research conducted during these experiments confirms the cognitive tax of anchoring and its effect on consumer choice. Consumers are likely to change their decisions based upon the delivery and the presentation of the menu, and consumers are likely to differ in the amount of money each spend per restaurant visit because of variables other than taste and hunger. Now, we have a plethora more research on menu psychology and restaurants and how consumers make choices off menus. Visit michaelbarbera.com, michaelbarbera.com, my website, for more information and more research on menus. We have another section coming up. Don't leave us yet. Next section for this phenomenal special episode on menus is going to be discussing time pressure on diner decision making. We'll be right back.
You know when your customers are shopping at your business and they pick up a product? The customer holds it, feels it, and shows it to their friend. Then they look at the price tag.
Oh my, I need to look at something else.
The customer picks up a second item and loves the way it looks. They've heard of this product, but haven't yet seen it in person.
I've got to have this.
You're happy the customer chose to buy a product, but you're equally frustrated that they didn't buy both items.
I want them both.
The Consumer Experience Lab at Barbera Solutions designs behavioral strategies that target the consumer's decision-making process. BarberaSolutions.com. Because the opposite of rational is not irrational. B-A-R-B-E-R-A Solutions.com.
Welcome back to ClickSuasion. Our next topic, menus, dining out, and time pressure to influence consumer decisions. Time pressure is a significant driver of human decision-making. Time pressure is both artificial and natural. Time pressure is popular with airlines, hotels, and sporting tickets. When purchasing an airline ticket, it is likely that you have encountered a message that stated, blank time remaining to purchase this ticket, or blank seats reserved for, following a clock counting down. Ticketing agencies such as Ticketmaster and online retailer eBay are known for their time pressure sales methods or dynamic pricing. The high time pressure used by airlines, hotels, and ticketing agencies are overt and intentional. However, not all time pressure is overt or intentional. Imagine you're driving to a friend's house for an important announcement. You must be at your destination within the next 20 minutes or you will miss this important announcement. But you're stuck in traffic, and your GPS is telling you that you will arrive in approximately 35 minutes. This high time pressure scenario is not intentional, and you may not realize that your stress level has increased because of time. The decisions you choose following the increased stress will likely be a result of the time pressure and will likely not correlate with your normal decision-making process. Now imagine you're at a restaurant with friends. You're reading the menu and the waiter walks up to the table and says, "Are we ready to order?" Simultaneously, every person at the table answers yes, and you say no. However, you tell your friends, "Go ahead, order." And by the time you're done ordering, I'll have made a choice. You now placed yourself in a time pressure situation, and the choice you make for your meal is a direct result of the cognitively taxing time pressure and not your normal decision making. Time pressure likely changes human choice and preference, and time pressure is likely to change the amount of money consumers spend and the quantity of items purchased and/or consumed. When an individual orders a meal on an electronic device, such as a tablet, the individual will likely generate a higher median cost per order. The increased price is likely due to the extended options where consumers have the option to increase sizes and add ingredients. The majority of customers are unlikely to ask another human during the ordering process for every available option that is in the kitchen. Nor is it likely that the employer is aware of every option. Tim Reichart shares how his brewery designed their menu.
We actually, it's really simple. We have 10 taps. So the first five taps from left to right are on the left menu board. And then numbers 6 through 10 are on the right menu board. We tried to keep them in order just based on the lineup in the taps. Tim Reichart, Fainting Goat Brewing Company, Fuquay Marina, North Carolina.
Thanks, Tim. Humans generally order less quantities and spend less per purchase when ordering from another person, such as an employee of the restaurant. Cognitively, humans fear being stereotyped for their actions. A method of reducing the stereotype is to order less quantities and spend less money. However, time pressure could change the cognitive process because time pressure is likely to override all logical and rational choices. Psychologist Stevie Pena shares her insights on perception.
When I go into organizations, I find that everybody has their personal perspective. And since that's what we're used to, we believe everybody around us has the same perspective. So it creates a bias in the way that we perceive other people's intentions or interactions. So I will work with managers and their employees or directors and their assistant directors where they both will be saying the same thing, but they're using two different languages because their personalities are so different. Stevie Pena, licensed mental health counselor and certified addictions professional.
Thanks, Stevie. During recent research, the median purchase amount of a customer was tested to identify how much a customer would spend when ordering from a counter under conditions of high and low time pressure. The process was tested when ordering with an employee and with a tablet. How does time pressure affect the median purchase amount per consumer when ordering a meal over a counter. Two hypotheses were designed for this research. One, participants ordering from a counter with an employee under conditions of low time pressure would spend less than participants under conditions of high time pressure. And two, participants ordering from a counter with a tablet under conditions of low time pressure would spend more money than participants under conditions of high time pressure. It is believed that the participants will make non-traditional choices under conditions of high time pressure. Four experimental groups were designed for the research. Group 1, which consisted of 161 participants under conditions of low time pressure and order with an employee. Each participant approached a counter in a lab environment. Participants didn't need to wait in line, and each participant walked to the counter and placed their order to the employee behind the counter. Group 2, which consisted of 164 people under conditions of high time pressure, also ordered with an employee. Each participant approached a counter in a lab environment with a 20-minute wait behind other customers. Once the participant reached the counter, they placed the order with the employee. Group 3, which was 189 people under conditions of low time pressure, ordered with a tablet. Each participant approached the counter in a lab environment. See a theme here going on. Participants didn't need to wait in line, and each participant walked to the counter and placed their meal order directly on the tablet. And the last group, group 4, consisted of 201 participants under conditions of high time pressure and also ordered their meal on a tablet. They were also in a lab environment and had a 20-minute wait behind other customers. Once that participant reached the counter, they placed their meal with another employee. So a total of 736 people were recruited for the research. Participants were recruited from four timeshare customer databases and were asked to complete voluntary research in a lab environment regarding wait times. Each participant was accompanied by their significant other and were given $100 in fictional dollars in U.S. currency. Additionally, participants were instructed not to eat or drink 2 hours prior to arriving to the lab. 21 participants excluded from the study for consuming food and beverages within 2 hours of the arrival time. The older participants did much better than the college students. Participants received additional points toward their timeshare accounts for their voluntary participation in the study. Each participant in each group were asked if they would like to add another item to their order. The items were selected by the employee or by the algorithm based on the participants' group and order. I need to stop saying that word. For example, customers that ordered a cheeseburger were asked about having their cheeseburger loaded. Regardless of menu item, each additional item consisted of a similar price. $1.19 was the median, and a standard deviation of 10 cents. Participants in group one, the low time pressure employee group, had a median cost per order of $13.91, with a standard deviation of $2.01. Participants in group two, the high time pressure group, had a median cost per order of $19.89, and a standard deviation of $6.91. The hypothesis for the human groups were confirmed due to the low time pressure experiencing a low median cost per participant than the high time pressure group. Participants in group 3, the low time pressure tablet group, experienced a median cost per order of $26.71 with a standard deviation of $9.80. Yet, in the fourth group, the high time pressure tablet group had a median cost of $16.33 and a standard deviation of $7.45. Surprisingly, there weren't any outliers for this research, and all collected data was analyzed. As suggested by prior research, the high time pressure group that ordered from an employee were likely saying yes to the additional options to avoid any time at the counter due to others waiting in line. The behavior signifies two things. First, a potential concern for people around themselves, and two, a potential disregard for rational economic thought and mental accounting. It is evident that increased stress and time pressure could create a choice that results in spending more money in order to remove themselves from the scenario. Further investigation should be conducted to identify how this behavior is likely to affect brand equity and consumer loyalty. Measuring brand equity and consumer loyalty may be best tested within each organization. Group 3, the low time pressure tablet group, experienced the highest median cost per participant at $26.71, and the largest variance within its group with a standard deviation of $9.80. Well, Group 4, the high time pressure tablet group, had a median cost per participant of $16.33, with the second largest variance with a standard deviation of $7.45. It's also evident that the prices the participants were willing to pay via tablet widely varied. It is also evident that presenting choices as an interactive visual aid may entice the consumer to choose options that they weren't previously aware were offered, and more likely to give the consumer the opportunity to customize their experience, which likely builds on the consumer and user experiences and could have advantageous effects on brand equity and revenue. Although time pressure may appear to be a simple method of semi-controlling consumer choice, using time pressure to intentionally increase sales could be considered unethical and could have adverse effects on consumer loyalty and brand equity. It's a good practice to consider the consumer experience when designing time pressure models.
I think it's the chalkboard menu. It's right next to the taps. When people walk into a craft beer bar or a brewery like this, they automatically go straight to the taps. And some of them will look at the tap handles, or they'll go straight to the menu. It's bigger letters. It's right there where they can see it. From either entrance, you can actually see our tap wall and our menu boards. Tim Reichert, Fainting Goat Brewing Company, Fuquay Arena, North Carolina.
Again, thanks, Tim, for your insight at what goes on at Fainting Goat Brewery. Lastly, it is evident that time pressure affects choices. It is evident that individuals could experience different levels of time pressure and could anchor themselves into an irrational decision. Time pressure as a sales model has been proven to benefit the consumer and the brand, as well as be detrimental to both consumer and brand. Good way to contradict ourselves here. Time pressure models are sensitive to extrinsic constructs that may not present themselves to be obvious to both consumer and brand. So before we close out, we have several final thoughts from some of our guests. Stick around for a few moments and let's get some final thoughts.
You know when your customers are shopping at your business and they pick up a product? The customer holds it, feels it, and shows it to their friend. Then they look at the price tag.
Oh my, I need to look at something else.
The customer picks up a second item and loves the way it looks. They've heard of this product, but haven't yet seen it in person.
I've got to have this!
You're happy the customer chose to buy a product, but you're equally frustrated that they didn't buy both items.
I want them both.
The Consumer Experience Lab at Barbera Solutions designs behavioral strategies that target the consumer's decision-making process. BarberaSolutions.com. Because the opposite of rational is not irrational. B-A-R-B-E-R-A Solutions.com.
Welcome back to Clicksuasion. Let's get some final thoughts from and recommendations from Angie Diaz and Tim Reichert.
Just making sure that, like for us, our calendar, it goes out once a month. Making sure that you stayed on there that, you know, there are certain flavors that will sell out or there are changes. You know, it is subject to change. And you want to get that out there so that if something does change, you know, you've stated it ahead of time. So like for us, we use all fresh fruit in our cupcakes. There have been times we've had, let's say, you know, a peach cupcake on our schedule and then can't find good fresh peaches. And so we're certainly not going to just add flavoring in there because that's our thing, you know, the fresh fruit. And so we would have to scrap that cupcake for the day.
I think the acronym Keep It Simple Stupid, the KISS acronym, is the way to go. I've been several places where they have so many menu selections and the menu is so cluttered, it's almost hard to make a decision on what you're going to order.
Thanks for joining us on this very special Clicksuasion episode for Menu Psychology. Go ahead and subscribe to Clicksuasion wherever you get your podcasts, and we will let you know when the next podcast is available.
Thanks for listening to Clicksuasion. Subscribe to the podcast, read our research, and get in touch with us at clicksuasion.com. You can also find us on Twitter with the handle @clicksuasion.